Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Think of the utter blasphemy of it, of burning the Word of God. We're going to read about a man, this man called Jehoiakim, who burned the Word of God. And then we're going to think, first of all, of the primacy of the Word of God, and then secondly, of the indestructibility of the Word of God.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. The Word of God has always been opposed by those who wish to reject the truth. But in the book of Jeremiah, we meet a wicked king who actually burned the Word of God. Today on The Verdict, we're finding out what happened in this dramatic turn of events and what it teaches us about the power and indestructibility of God's Word. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Can you imagine burning the Word of God? Can you imagine someone so hating God's revelation that they destroy it? Of course, you can never destroy the Word of God, as it's living, it's eternal. Jesus taught, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." Today we consider the story of a king, King Jehoiakim, who cut out the pieces of the Bible and threw them into the fire until he had nothing left. He was living at the time of Jeremiah. The story is recorded in Jeremiah chapter 36. I trust you're enjoying this series in Jeremiah. So let's learn today about this intriguing incident and consider our own view of and reaction to the Word of God. Do you read your Bible? Have you read all your Bible, 66 books? Or do you just read parts of it? Do you just read perhaps a verse a day, one or two of your favorite stories? Perhaps there are parts of it that you don't like and you just ignore completely. We're going to read of a king of Judah, a man called Jehoiakim. And in the year 605 BC, he took the Word of God, written by the prophet Jeremiah, and he took it, and he didn't like what he heard. And so he took his penknife and he cut out the parts of the scroll of the scripture that was read to him that he didn't like, threw it into the fire until there was nothing left. Now, I don't think any of us here would take a Bible and literally set it on fire and burn it. I don't think any of us would do that, but I do think some of us marginalize the Bible. I think some of us who even profess to be followers of Jesus Christ don't really devote ourselves to the study of it, and that we may ignore it, marginalize it, and perhaps resent the teaching of Holy Scriptures. The Reformer said that one of the marks of the true church was the faithful exposition of the Word of God. And so the Reformers believed that at the center of the church was to be not an altar, not a stage, but a pulpit, so that the Bible was center in the life of the church. Because they believed, and we believe at church, that this book, the Bible, is the Word of God. And it is of the utmost importance. And if we believe that, it must impact our personal lives. Certainly, it must impact the life of a church and all of our ministries. Some time ago, I read an article about churches, very cool churches, who were turning Sunday school into what the article said, and it was a secular article. They were turning the Sunday school into fun day school. Oh, that's really nice, isn't it? In other words, what our children need is fun. Our children need something that's exciting, something that's really cool, something that's really up to date, as it were. But in so doing, the article said that they were turning from Scripture. You know, our world, our society is brilliantly at amusing us, but it is hopelessly inadequate in presenting to us the truth of the Word of God, the truth of the gospel. And at the beginning of this year, I challenged you to spend at least 15 minutes reading the Word of God. Just 15 minutes. You can spend more, that's great, but at least 15 minutes. I wonder how many of us have kept doing that. We're going to read about a man, this man called Jehoiakim, who burned the word of God. And I want you to turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 36 and read about this man. And then we're going to think, first of all, of the primacy of the word of God, and then secondly, of the indestructibility of the word of God. Jeremiah 36, verse 1, in the fourth year of King Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Take a scroll and write on it all the words that I have spoken to you against Israel and Judah and all the nations from the day that I spoke to you, from the days of Josiah until today. Josiah being one of the earlier kings. Now notice in verse 2, the expression, write on it all the words. We're going to see that expression over and over again in Jeremiah 36. Verse 3. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all of the disaster that I intend to do to them, so that everyone may turn from his evil way and that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote on a scroll at the dictation of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord that he had spoken to him. And Jeremiah ordered Baruch, saying, I am banned from going to the house of the Lord. So you're to go, and on a day of fasting, in the hearing of all of the people in the Lord's house, you shall read the words of the Lord from the scroll that you have written at my dictation. You shall read them also in the hearing of all the men of Judah who come out of their cities. It may be that their plea for mercy will come before the Lord, and that everyone will turn from his evil way. For great is the anger and wrath that the Lord has pronounced against his people. And Baruch, the son of Neriah, did all that Jeremiah the prophet ordered him about reading from the scroll the words of the Lord in the house, in the Lord's house, that's the temple. In the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, all the people in Israel and all the people who came from the cities of Judah to Jerusalem proclaimed a fast before the Lord. Then, in the hearing of all of the people, Baruch read the words of Jeremiah from the scroll in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, the secretary, which was in the upper court at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. Verse 16. When they heard all the words, they turned one to another in fear, and they said to Baruch, we must report all these words to the king. Then they asked Baruch, tell us, how did you write all these words? Was it at his dictation? Baruch answered them, he dictated all these words to me while I wrote them with ink on the scroll. Then the officials said to Baruch, go and hide you and Jeremiah and let no one know where you are. Jeremiah is in prison at this point. So they went into the court to the king, having put the scroll in the chamber of Elishama, the secretary, and they reported all of the words to the king. Then the king sent Jehudai to get the scroll. He took it from the chamber of Elishama, the secretary, and Jehudai read it to the king and all the officials who stood beside the king. It was the ninth hour, and the king was sitting in the winter house, and there was a fire burning in the fire pot before him. Listen to this. As Jehudai read three or four columns, the king would cut them off with a knife and throw them into the fire in the fire pot until the entire scroll was consumed in the fire that was in the fire pot. Yet neither the king nor any of his servants who heard all these words was afraid, nor did they tear their garments, even well when Elnathan and Deliah and Gemariah urged the king not to burn the scroll, he would not listen to them. And the king commanded Jeremiel, the king's son, and Sariah, the son of Azrael, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdiel, to seize Baruch, the secretary, and Jeremiah, the prophet, but the Lord hid them. Now after the king had burned the scroll with the words that Baruch wrote at Jeremiah's dictation, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, take another scroll and write on it all the former words that were in the first scroll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, has burned. And concerning Jehoiakim, king of Judah, you shall say, thus says the Lord, you have burned the scroll, saying,
why have you written in it that the king of Babylon will certainly come and destroy this land and will cut off from it man and beast? Verse 32, then Jeremiah took another scroll and gave it to Baruch the son of Neriah, who wrote on it at the dictation of Jeremiah all the words of the scroll that Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire, and many similar words were added to them. Isn't that a fascinating story? The story of a man, a king who should have known better, burning the word of God because he didn't like what it said. So I want us to reaffirm this important principle of the primacy of the word of God. The Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, claims to be the word of God. Listen to Paul in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Paul is saying, as all of scripture is saying, that the Bible has its origin not in man, but in God. It is the word of God. God, who is truth, breathes out his scripture. So if a true God breathes out his scripture, the product, the word, is a true word. That is, that the word of God is 100% trustworthy. It comes from God. It's inspired by God. It's breathed out by God. All scripture, we could translate that expression, all scripture, as some translation do, every portion of scripture, not just some of it, not just your favorite verses, all of it. And we read over and over again in Jeremiah 36, all the words, all the words. And God used men like Jeremiah in the Old Testament to write the word of God. Peter in 2 Peter 1 says that men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Do you hear that? They spoke from God. These men came from God, that the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah and then it's written down so that the written word is in fact the word of God. That's it. They were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The picture is of the beautiful sailing ship. The sail goes up, the wind comes and fills the sails, and the ship is carried along. The ship is moved. That's the picture. A man like Jeremiah is filled with the Spirit of God, and he writes the word of God so that the product, scripture, is in fact the infallible, inerrant word of God. That is, when the Bible speaks, God speaks. Do you understand that? Do you want to hear God speaking? Read the word of God. And the Old Testament is also the word of God. We have some preachers today who would try to ignore or even reject the Old Testament and think the Old Testament is irrelevant. It's too harsh. It's not suitable for today's contemporary, sophisticated, cool audience. But Paul, the apostle, refers to the Old Testament as the word of God. He says in Romans 3 that the Jews were entrusted with the oracles, not of Moses, the oracles of God. And when Paul in Romans 9 refers to the words of Moses, the words of Moses to Pharaoh, he says, this is what, not what Moses said, he says, this is what Scripture says. That is, the Old Testament is the word of God. Our Lord Jesus treated the historical narratives of the Old Testament about Noah, Lot, Adam, and David, and so on, as records of fact. Our Lord Jesus often quoted from the Old Testament in a way which he is clearly stating what God has said. In Hebrews 10, when the writer is writing about the new covenant that we studied 2 or 3 weeks ago from Jeremiah chapter 31, when he's quoting from Jeremiah 31 in Hebrews chapter 10, he doesn't say, Jeremiah said, although Jeremiah did say it. He says, the Holy Spirit bore witness. That is, the Holy Spirit is God. It is God who gave us the new covenant, written by Jeremiah. The Old Testament is the word of God. What about the New Testament? Well, the New Testament is clearly the word of God. The apostles received revelation direct from God. They recorded the word of God. Paul says, for example, in Galatians 1, I'd have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel, for I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. This message that we preach, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, of salvation in Jesus Christ, is, says Paul, not what I think. I did not go to a classroom and was taught about the gospel. No, I received it directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? It's the gospel of God. It's the good news of God. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ and is given to us in Scripture. So Paul says, this is of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried and was raised again according to the Scriptures. Jesus himself said, as he prayed to his Father in John chapter 19, your word is truth. Not that it bears witnesses to the truth, although that's a true statement, it's stronger than that. Your word is truth. All of Scripture, not just parts of it, all of Scripture is true, whether you believe it or not, irrespective of what you think about it. You can be like Jehoiakim and reject it and say, absolutely not, I don't believe that. That doesn't change the word of God. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord, says Isaiah, abides forever. The psalmist says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Jesus said, the heavens and the earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. This is the primacy of the word of God. This, my dear brothers and sisters, is absolutely foundational. This is non-negotiable, that the Bible is the word of God. You say, why are you saying this, John? We know this. Well, I'm not sure if all of us do know it or all of us believe it, but we need to make sure that in our lives, in our ministry, it is focused on Scripture, not your ideas or mine. The primacy of the Word of God. Secondly, the indestructibility of the Word of God. Are we surprised because the Bible comes from God that it's being attacked? No book has been so attacked as this book, the Bible. Here's a man who should have known better, King Jehoiakim of Judah. King Josiah was a godly man, a man who revered the word of God, but Jehoiakim, as he hears the word coming from Jeremiah, doesn't like it. Doesn't like being told that the Babylonians are going to come and to destroy Jerusalem. If he was a wiser man, if he's a godly man, he would have listened to the word of God coming from Jeremiah. But no, he rejects it. And he attacks the word of God. He tried to eradicate, think of the utter blasphemy of it, of burning the word of God. Don't be surprised. Satan's constant strategy is to undermine the reliability, the authority, the accuracy of the word of God. What's the first question in the Bible? Genesis 3, by our enemy. Did God actually say that? It was a subtle question, was it? Here's Eve in the garden. They're perfect. They're in paradise. And Satan says, listen, you know, God said certain things, but did God actually say that? You ever heard someone saying to you, is that really in the Bible, or is that your own idea? Is that your own interpretation? And from that time right to the present day, skeptics have vilified, ridiculed, and attacked the authority and reliability of Scripture. Many have tried to eradicate the Bible from human existence. When the Bible was first translated into English in 1382, do you realize that reading it was against the law in England? It was illegal to read your Bible in English? And William Tyndale, who gave us that brilliant translation, was put to death because he persisted in translating the Scriptures into English. The medieval church didn't want the Bible in the hands of the common people. You can't read it. You can't understand it. We're the priests. We're the authority. We're the church. We'll tell you what it says, but don't read it for yourself. These attempts failed. In the mid-18th century in France, Voltaire tried to stamp out the Bible.
but failed. Think of more recent attempts in countries of communism, and Marxists have tried to stop the Bible being translated, have tried to ban the Bible, have tried to stamp out the Bible. They've done all they can to attack the Bible, but they failed. Always they have failed. The Word of God is indestructible. I recently read this from the U.S. State Department. A toddler was sentenced to life imprisonment in North Korea after the child's family was found in possession of a Bible, according to a report by the U.S. State Department. They're reporting facts here. It involved the arrest of a family, this is in North Korea, based on their religious practices and possession of a Bible. The entire family, including a two-year-old child, was given life sentences in political prison camps. Think of that today. You got this Bible. I mean, I don't know how many Bibles I have. I have many of them. We're encouraged to read our Bible. We encourage our children, our students, everyone to read their Bible. Can you imagine if it was the case that if you had a Bible, you would be exiled and put in a political prisoner camp for the rest of your life? That happens. The report said it's estimated, by the way, to be between 200,000 and 400,000 clandestine Christians in North Korea. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters there who are persecuted, imprisoned, even with possessing a Bible. North Korea wants to eradicate the Word of God. These attempts have continued throughout the history of the world. Don't be intimidated by the attacks on the Bible. King Jehoiakim cut out the parts of the Bible he didn't like and threw them into the fire. But the Word of God was not destroyed. And God's Word will never be destroyed. Yes, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of our God abides forever. Love this Word. Read it. Obey it. And see what God does in your life as you bow to the authority of Scripture, the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, and seek to live a life for the glory of God. Will you do that?
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a message titled, Burning God's Word. To go along with our current study, John has written a new booklet titled, When a Nation Forgets God. And it's a thought-provoking discussion of the key themes and lessons we're learning in Jeremiah. Jeremiah brings a difficult message, one of repentance and judgment. But we also see the mercy of God and the grace of God at work. There are so many relevant and timely takeaways packed in this Old Testament book. So request your free copy of John's new booklet titled, When a Nation Forgets God, by visiting our website at theverdict.org. This radio ministry is committed to sharing and teaching biblical truth with listeners all across the world. And you can be a part of this gospel work by supporting our ministry with a financial gift of any amount. So partner with us today by making your donation online at theverdict.org or call us at 833-551-2231. You can also send a check through the mail by writing to The Verdict, care of Calvary Church, 5801 Pineville Matthews Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28226. Another exciting update is our brand new YouTube channel we're producing for students titled Real Questions, Real Truth. In each episode, John sits down with a high school host to answer the tough personal and spiritual questions that so many students are facing. To check it out, just search for Real Questions, Real Truth on YouTube and choose subscribe. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? How important is the Word of God in your life? You may not cut it up and burn it, but by not reading it, you may be disregarding it or marginalizing it. I challenge the congregation at Calvary Church in Charlotte to read the Bible daily. Will you make a commitment before God to do that? Not as a legalistic obligation, but because you believe the Bible is the living and true Word of God. It will transform your life. Don't allow the pressures of the surrounding culture to shake your view of Scripture as the Word of God.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.